Wow, a lot of tremendous praises to the Lord this morning, and that really boosted my faith to hear again of God's goodness in such a clear way. Thank you all for singing and sharing and praying and being together with the Lord. One of the things that God does in the Bible consistently and also in our lives, He seems to speak to us at our point of greatest need, where we feel the most pain. And it's been said as a believer that you should always walk toward the pain in your life, because that's where you're going to meet the Lord. That's where He's going to speak to you about Himself and about His faithfulness. So don't be afraid to do that. You know, our tendency is to say, well, let's move away from the things that are broken. Jesus said, no, let me heal and help and touch with my grace the things that are broken in your life. So I'm going to use an illustration of a place of brokenness, which is often family life, just as an introductory illustration to what Jesus taught here about, hey, love Him more than anything or anyone else. Big, huge command that the Lord gives us. And so imagine being at a wedding where Mike and Mary are to become husband and wife. And a wedding is a place of worship and also a place where people give promises, promise to each other, promises to the Lord. And everybody's excited for Mike and Mary. And it comes at a time where Mike is about to make his promises to Mary and to God. But instead of saying, I, Mike, take you, Mary, to be my wife, and I, for better, for worse, richer, for poorer, forsaking all others, instead of saying that, Mike says this, I take you, Mary, along with Sally and Nancy and Ruthie, and my lifelong friends who I want to stay close with, Joe and Jeff, and Mary, I take myself and my future happiness and fulfillment. And I give them to you there, Mary. And, you know, Mary would be horrified, and so would everybody at the wedding. And no way would she take that kind of relationship, right? No. Everyone would say, that's not marriage. Right? That's not marriage. Mike is not a real spouse. Mike really doesn't know what he's doing. And the Bible uses relationships on earth as a mirror of our relationships in heaven and the great need for peace with God and peace for one another. But the Bible does say this, that marriage is a great mystery, and I take it to mean Christ and the Christian, or Christ and the church. Okay, so just like there's not to be anything between Mike and Mary down here, there's also to be nothing in between you and I and the Lord. Nothing in between us. No rivals of love or loyalty there. And that's the way Jesus set it up. Okay, no ultimate loves between Jesus and His people. Have no other loyalties before Him. The Old Testament would put it that way. No other, you know, things that attract our heart to. Jesus says, that's the way it is. That's the way it has to be. And nobody would criticize Mary for saying, you know, no, we're not going to do it that way. Everybody would cheer for Mary if she would say, I want you to give everything. I've given everything. So Jesus said, that's the way it is between us and Him. And Kevin read the truth from Jesus that will set us free. Tough love and tough words by Jesus, as He says, anyone who loves father and mother, son or daughter, or self more than Me is not worthy of Me. It's not going to work out that way. It can't be between us and Christ. It's not being a Christian when we do that. Okay. Now we know that salvation's a gift from God. Heaven's a gift from God. And when we receive that gift, it's an all or nothing response to the Lord. As Shelley shared about praying, you know, the medical community did everything they could for her eyesight. But when she asked God for help, it was all or nothing. Right? Health or not health. And so the Lord does that for us. And He invites a similar response. Jesus invites us and commands us to a forsaking all others kind of relationship. Okay, and that's a pretty tough one. Don't jump at that too soon before you know what you're getting into. Jesus invites us and commands us to an all or nothing relationship. And it's a tough love that brings out strength in our souls, and it certainly reflects the strength of God. And now for the Christian, our love for Jesus is so great that other loves pale in comparison. We obviously know from the Bible, Jesus is not saying here, don't love mom and dad, don't love brother and sister, and, you know, just throw yourself in the dumpster out back. He's saying, your love for God is so great that other loves are going to seem way, way, way in second place compared to your love for Him. And in fact, I've learned in my own life time and time again, loving Christ first is the only healthy way to love the other people in my life. If I try to love other people first, I end up messing them up and messing myself up. I mean, it gets sour really quickly. But when I love God first, Christ first, I'm able to love others in a much healthier way that blesses them. And this is part of what Jesus calls us to. I mentioned at the beginning of the service the daily devotional All to Jesus by Robert Morgan. He looked up in the Bible all the places where all was mentioned. And a lot of them had to do with God's relationship with us. He's all in. And our relationship with God. He invites us. All. And here's a few quotes from Robert Morgan I want to have the comments on what Jesus said. Motivational comments. Jesus nowhere invites partial devotion to Him. How true that is. Jesus nowhere allows partial devotion to Him. Now, you know, us as believers, we might invite and we might allow partial devotion to Christ. In fact, I think that's one of the great unhealthy spots of today's believers. We invite partial devotion to Christ. Okay, just do what you can. Okay, don't sell out too much for the Lord. You know, don't put forth too much of an effort to follow Him. That's often what comes off by default, when we look at each other as Christians. We might put up with partial devotion to the Lord, you know, for each other, for whatever reason. Jesus will not. He says it's all or it's nothing. That's the way it has to be. He doesn't settle for anything else. My older brother is a high school football coach, and one of his players wanted to be in the class play. Guys and Dolls or something like that. And so the practice for the class play, which you do lines and things, took place the same time that football practice took place. And so a young person comes up and says, Coach, you know, I want to be in the class play, and can I'd like to go to these practices here, but I'll come back for, you know, football too, and I'll be there Friday night. You throw me the ball or whatever the desire was. And my brother said, you can go to the class play, practice, but don't come back here. He said, football's not for you. See, it was an all or nothing call. And there was something healthy about that. And there was something good about that. People could say, yeah, I understand that level of devotion that it takes for anything that's very worthwhile. And so, in a real sense, Jesus is saying that to us. Look, if you're going to love something else more than me, don't even start to follow me. Because you cannot. He used the word, you cannot. So, all or nothing is a healthy way to live. Again, we would say amen to Mary if she told Mike to hit the road. Following Jesus calls on everything we are. No exceptions. No exceptions. That's a scary proposition. But it's a truth from Jesus that is meant to set us free. And it's really not for His benefit, it's for our benefit. You think if somebody really gets, you know, as they say, 100% devoted to the Lord, you know, isn't that a big boost for the kingdom of heaven and for God, you know? Well, what does God gain by getting us? He's glad to have us because He's love. But He doesn't need us, but He wants us. Yeah. He wants us. He says, come, this will help your soul to to love me first. This is why I created you. And it's a great invitation by the Lord. Very intimidating. It is a all or nothing type invitation. But some of the words from God's word can set us free on this. Again, a good promise. You will search for the Lord your God. You'll find him when you seek him with all your heart. Okay, that's not a partial heart devotion. And it's not a feeling devotion. It's a surrender of the will devotion to Christ. He also invites us, serve the Lord your God with all your heart. In the King James it says, worship the Lord with all your heart. That's really a call to daily surrender, but also giving your all thanks and praise to God, which we love to do. I thought an old song, an old love song, which is kind of dumb, but it was okay years ago. This guy, he's excited about his friend, girlfriend. He says, I'd wait a million years, walk a million miles, cry a million tears just to be near you, sweetheart. And who knows whether it works out, but everybody says, yeah, I understand that kind of commitment. Maybe there's something good about that. Jesus invites that from you and I to him. Because he did go all the way for us from heaven to Bethlehem, to Calvary, to the resurrection, to his spirit in us, all the way. So worship him with all you have. And then our daily walk. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own just thinking or mindset. Especially don't lean on what you hear among the pagan system around you. There was a preacher who really got carried away, I thought, but hit it on the head. He said, don't listen to the world's BS. And BS, he meant belief system. Just in case some of you thought it was something else. Don't listen to the world's belief system, but trust God with all your heart. All your heart. You say, if the Bible says something, I'm going to go with it 100%. There's no debate. Jesus says, love me more than these other great loves. And here's some more challenges from Mr. Morgan. I think they're good, tough love challenges. Jesus had little interest in halfway saints. How true that is. He said, follow me. We're going to look in the future Sundays when he talks about, putting your hand to the plow, letting people bury their own who delay. The banquet's happening, but I just bought a cow. I just got married. I got a lot of responsibilities. Jesus pretty much says, forget you. Come and follow me. He had little interest in halfway saints. And this next quote is a tough one, but I think it rings true to our soul. Jesus would rather have one person 100% devoted to him than 100 people who are 90% devoted to him. And don't be so quick to say, I'm the one who's 100. You say, by the grace of God, I want to surrender like that. I never did, but I want to. And I want to daily. Because of the 90%, then I have other gods that my heart sells out to that doesn't honor God. It just ends up hurting me and hurting other people. So at the cross, he gave 100% for us. We could give 100% for you. And as we approach this, say, oh, I want to love Jesus first. Please know the attractiveness of him. You're not going to find anything bad in him. You're not going to walk away and say, yeah, I believed in Jesus, but he was somebody over pumped him up. But he deserves all the honor and surrender. We only have one life. Why are you going to give it to something else that's going to perish? Why don't you give it to Jesus, who's King of Kings? So loving the Lord more than father, mother, and self is certainly a struggle. I don't want to go back there yet. But some examples in the Bible. Abraham. He had to decide, should I love God 100% or should I love my son Isaac? God said, Isaac is very precious to you. I'm putting my finger on that. I'm saying, what it's going to be. And we know what's precious to us. God will put our finger on it and say, the only way this is going to be right in your life is you love me first in this area. Abraham and Isaac. Apostle Paul, his decision was, should I love Christ or should I love my religious heritage? There was a lot of good stuff for Paul. Knew the Bible, you know. Outwardly, he was more righteous than any of us in this room. But he said, that's not important. Christ is important. 100%, all or nothing. Matthew, Jesus, should I love you or should I love my power and money? Okay, yeah. He was in the governing aspect of things. I'll love Jesus first. David, to love God or to love his own success as a king? We have to be, if God brings blessing, we're in an area that's, if we don't lean on God, thin ice, because we get prideful, lean on ourselves. You know, how much we need the Lord in these areas. Love him first. Other things are put in line. I know what God puts his finger in my life on that is near and dear to me, and God is constantly saying, love me first in that area. Some are just simply good things in creation. You know, family life, wife, sons, things I enjoy. Some are just plain sins. You got to face that. I love to gossip, you know. I don't know if I could ever give that up for the Lord, you know. It's just part of who I am. I mean, I could hardly go a day without doing it. Just say, hey, love God more than you love this, call it what it is, sin. Love God more than sin. If you want to know the forgiveness that the Lord is there for. And the scary thing about this teaching, love me more than father, mother, son, daughter, yourself, is we need the Lord's help to do it, for one thing. And secondly, real Christians really do this. They really do. You know, and somebody doesn't have to put a gun to their head and say, well, do you love Jesus more than anybody? Yes or no? They just go with it because they realize life, their walk with Christ doesn't make sense without it. Real Christians really do this in an imperfect, growing manner. And here's the other scary thing. Fake Christians really don't do this. I'm not interested in it and just want what God can give them in some kind of, you know, optional relationship thing. And God won't have it. Okay. He didn't put up with it in the Old Testament, does not do it in the New Testament. He reaches out to us because he loves us. And you might be here this morning and say, well, I can't say that I love Jesus more than my family life and my parents and my life and my work. I mean, they are, I hate to say it, they dominate my schedule. If you could admit that before God and just meet God at the point of that pain, you know, I think you're a step closer to say, but loving Jesus first would be a way to set my ship right. Really would. Because this is Jesus talking to me, you know. And if you're hesitant because you say, when I do that, it's not going to feel good right away. It might not. But someone asked the question, do you want to feel better or do you want to love better in your life? Do you want to feel better or love better because you said, I love the Lord first. I find fulfillment in Him and it allows me to love others. In the Christian life, knowing you love Jesus, it's not perfection, it's a direction. Okay, it's where your soul is. Being loved by Christ would motivate you for Christ, to love Him. And then just think what He means to you and what He's done for you. I often thought, and I'm glad the Lord doesn't do this, if the Lord didn't do anything for me the rest of my life, answered no prayer, no blessings, I just, you know, starved to death and died of miserable diseases. He already gave me millions of blessings I didn't deserve. He owes me nothing. I'd still be, you know, I'd still be the most thankful person on earth from who the Lord is. To love Jesus first. The bunch of guys from England came up with that phrase, give up your small ambitions and follow the King. And how about you? It's not to disdain everybody else, you know. I didn't love my brother anyway. This will be an easy one for me to do. No, you say, I love Jesus first. And those other loves will gain health from the Creator, from the Savior. Would you love the Lord, you know, as an act of surrender? Let Him impact all your decisions, all your time, all your schedule, your energy, your resources. You're giving them to some idols. Why don't you give them to Christ? He deserves them. And that's what you desire. So make peace with God in your soul, in silent prayer. You tell Jesus you want to love Him first, all the time, all or nothing, no matter what. And so when you leave the sanctuary today, you could just say, well, I know where I stand. I'm still in the nothing column. That's okay. You just keep talking to the Lord about that. But He invites you to the all column in the direction of your soul. So pray silently. Hear our silent prayers, Jesus. We respond to your word. Lord, I pray for your help in this matter of loving you. It seems like you wouldn't have to twist our arm to do this. Just introduce yourself to us and that'll be sufficient. And give us the momentum we need to follow through where our hearts really are. If our hearts are really not with you, then we'll find you in that empty space and say, I don't even want to love Jesus, but here He is standing there inviting me to love Him. So we're not saved, Lord, by the intensity of our love, but certainly intensity will flow from what you mean to us. Now bless each one here. And I just pray for each one, Lord, and myself, moment by moment, gratitude, gladness, love for you, which we can be doing for all eternity. And joy in that. And help us to see the cost, Father. But to embrace you there. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.